Imadagai Gimbai, Biripi Barai. That means welcome friends to Biripi country. And it is on behalf of the Biripi people, the custodians of this land, I would like to pay respect to the elders, both past and present, and extend that respect to each and every one listening to King's Kids.
Welcome to King's Kids. I'm Heidi. Aboriginal evangelist Tony Dennison is back once again to share a Christian experience that is very frustrating. It may seem strange to say that we can have a frustrating Christian experience, but this is where we can feel isolated from God and unable to communicate with God. It could be called spiritual depression. Tony went through such an experience and he's going to share his story today. We will also hear some great music from Chris Tomlin and Kids Worship.
Today I want to talk about the wilderness experience. You know, when we think of wilderness, people think it's you're going to go out there and you're going to do it really tough. You can do it tough in the wilderness. When we're in the spiritual wilderness, when we think that God has abandoned us, when we think that God no longer cares, you know, that's not true, because that's not what God intended when he puts us in the wilderness. We as a new Christian, or we're as a Christian that's been around a while, we think God has abandoned us, we're in punishment because we're in the wilderness. Well, that's not true, because I can tell you now, even Jesus had a wilderness experience. So look it up in the scriptures. Jesus, he got baptized in the River Jordan. He came up out of that, and there was a voice from heaven that said, "This is my son, I'm well pleased with him." You know, and the Holy Spirit came in the form of a dove. But in the very next chapter, or a few verses later, he was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit. He spent 40 days and 40 nights into the wilderness, because Jesus needed to be prepared for his time of ministry, when things were going to happen for him. And you see, I want to put it in terms that you understand. You see, years ago when I joined the army, I wanted to go to Vietnam. I mean, I was as keen as mustard to go to Vietnam. And a few of my mates joined up with the same ambition to go to Vietnam. We wanted to fight for our country, although we were black fellas and only barely recognised by this country as citizens. And but, you know, before that, a lot of our ancestors went to war. And, you know, we just wanted to do the same thing. When I joined the army, they just didn't give me a slouch hat and say, in a rifle, and say, "Tony, go to Vietnam." They prepared me. They prepared me for the things that were going to happen. I had to go to boot camp. And who would have thought spit polishing your boots every night before you went to bed, or every time you took them off at the end of the day, you know, making a bed with hospital corners where you drop a coin on it and the thing, if it didn't bounce, you had to make it again. Endless hours on the parade ground, marching up and down, learning the march in step, learning the salute, you know, learning all the drills with the weapons, all that fancy stuff. I used to remember doing it and I hated it. And I used to think, I just want to go to war. I just want to get ready for battle. What good is this going to do me when the time comes for battle? But you know what? It would have saved my life that I'd gotten to Vietnam, because it's discipline. It's preparation time. Although those times were hard, boot camp and training, jungle warfare, all the training that I went through in the army was preparation, was preparing me one day for battle. When you're a Christian, you're in a battle whether you like it or not. You know, if you're in God's camp, then the devil is your enemy. It's a spiritual battle. It's not always a physical battle, it's a spiritual battle. And you need to be prepared for the battle to come. So like boot camp, at different times in our lives, we need to be able to have a wilderness experience. And sometimes we might experience the wilderness experience more than once. Sometimes it can last for 3 weeks, it can last for 6 weeks, sometimes it can last for, mine has lasted for the last 3 years. You see, the bigger the calling that God has put in your life, the more you got to be ready for it. You can go round and round and round in the wilderness, and if you don't learn the lessons that God is trying to teach you in the wilderness, if you're not preparing your heart. You see, God wants a relationship with him. If God has prepared you and called you for ministry and other things, you know, the miracles, the signs and wonders and the preaching and all that is great. But you know, that's not what God's after. God is after a relationship with him. an intimate relationship with Him, to learn to know God's ways, to know who God is. And if you do all these things, if you learn to know who God is and put your trust in Him and have that personal time and that relationship with God, the miracles, the signs and wonders, the preaching will all fall into place. It's like when you meet a woman, you know, if she only wanted you to have kids with you and not build a relationship with you, it's not going to last. It's not very fulfilling. But the thing is, if you love that woman and build an intimate relationship with her, the kids are going to follow. These things will follow. So, you know, it's all about building a relationship with Him. And you see, my time in the army was a preparation for war. But now my time in this wilderness is a preparation for war. It's a war with the devil. It's a war with the demonic forces. The gates of hell will not prevail if we put our trust in God. And the only way we can do that is to have that relationship experience. Go through a wilderness. You know, when you're on top of the mountain, all things are going really well. And it's great to be on top of the mountain, but you've got to come down into the valley sometime. Because while you're in the valley, it's a growing time. But you know, a lot of Christians don't get it. When they're in the valley, they think it's punishment and they fall away. They don't trust God. They think God has abandoned them. And they get so uppity and they think, well, God, you know, I prayed for this and you didn't turn up, you didn't do that. And, you know, things are going wrong in my life. You know, that luxury home that I wanted, well, I couldn't get it. That flash car that I wanted, I couldn't get it. But you see, it's when you're in the times of need is the time you need to grow, is the time you need to spend with God. If you want to think about wilderness experiences, do you want to spend a 12-day journey in the wilderness? You see, the Israelites, they had an opportunity when they came out of Egypt. They saw powers, signs and wonders. You know, what a time to be living in when Moses brought them out of Egypt, parting of the Red Sea and every other miracle under the sun you can think about happened before their eyes. And yet 3 days after the miracles, they was whinging. They was carrying on complaining to God, I'd rather be back in Egypt. You know, at least we had meat, we had this and we had that, you know. And you brought us out here in the backside of the desert to die. If they'd have got it right, if they didn't just feed off the miracles and the signs and wonders, if they got to know God personally and spent that relationship time with God. You know, they reckon it was only a 12-day journey from Egypt to the Promised Land. And they spent 40 years wandering around in the wilderness. Do you want to spend your next 40 years in the wilderness? I actually spoke to a friend the other day and she said, well, talk about God, you know, I've been putting up with the same old crap for the last 30 years. It just never changes. And I said, you know what? I said, you've got only 10 years to go to catch up with the Israelites, another 10 years in the wilderness. I said, the amount of time you spend in the wilderness is up to you. You need to grow from that. You need to spend time with God. And you need to say, okay, God, what is it that I've got to cut off my life? What is it you want to take out of my life? Just take out all the crap and all the garbage. Get rid of me and give me more of you. Get to know God's ways. And you will have the experience of your life. You will have the ride of your life. It's like, I remember the first time I went to Wonderland and I got on that Big Dipper. I mean, I was the frightenest black fella you'd ever seen in your life getting up there, one of those things. But it was the ride of a lifetime. I wanted to do it again and again after I got over my fear. If you get a hold of God and build that intimate relationship and get to know God for who He really is, not just for miracles, not when we need Him when we're in times of trouble, but get to know God, get to know His heart, get to know His Father's heart. You know, as children, you know, when I love little children because, see, my little grandson tried to kiss me with an open mouth and he was dribbling yesterday and he just wanted to love his grandfather. He just wanted to reach out and kiss me and I shut my eyes and I let him kiss me with his mouth wide open. And you know what? I loved him, and I love him for it. Because when he sees his pop coming, He knows his pop's going to put black all over him. I'm going to kiss him all over. And you got to understand, I am a black fella. And when I kiss my grandkids, and a lot of them are white, you know, because of mixed marriages, you know what? And I always say to my grandkid, Poppy's going to put black on you now. And, you know, my granddaughter says to me, Poppy, I'm going to put white on you. And you know what? I was in church the other day, and this woman went to shake me, and I said, hey, I said, none of that stuff. I said, put some white on me. Give me a kiss. You know what I mean? God sees us the way he wants us to be, and we don't live up to it. You got to think, if you're a Christian and you're going through a wilderness experience and you give up, you're God's advertisement to the world. And they're watching you while you're in your wilderness experience. And if you're not living up to God's expectations or your own expectations, you know, in the army, you used to say, when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I remember running up that Heartbreak Ridge up at Canungra. It went forever. You know, I wasn't a Christian. Then you try running 20 k's from base to the top of the mountain and back when you've got a hangover. Man, it's the hardest going in the world. And sometimes, you know, while we're Christians, we're in this wilderness experience, we think we've got a hangover. You know, we think it's never going to end. We think God is never going to come up. You know, God never promises to take the wilderness experience away from us, but he promised to get us through it. He never said he will never, ever leave us, forsake us, and he's always there for us.
Everyone around the world, hear the joyful sound. See the heavens open up with the music coming down. Nothing's gonna separate us from the Father's love. I can't help but celebrate, cause we're not alone. If God is on our side, who can be against us? If God is on our side, leave behind your troubled mind.
The devil will send people along time and time and time again that are time wasters. People that want you to pray for them, want you to minister to them, and you know they say all the right things while you're there. But as soon as you walk out the door, they're back doing the same thing again. They're back on the merry-go-round because they just want to waste your time. Nobody hearing the word of God and hearing the voice of God and have people speak to you about what God wants to do in your life if you're not going to do it. I'm sick and tired of telling people, let it go. Let it go. You know what? When you let it go, God can do something. You know, recently I've been running around like a chook with his head chopped off because I've been trying to do something to help a friend. And I worked myself into a tizzy. I worked myself into so frustrated because I said, God, why aren't you answering this? Why aren't you doing something? You know, God, look, I do all this for you and you know, I'm asking you to do something for me. And what's happening? I wasn't hearing from God because, see, God was talking to me, but I wasn't listening because I was too busy trying to fix it myself. Listen to what I'm saying. Stop trying to fix it yourself. Get out of the road and let God do something. Untie God's hands and say, Father, today I can't do this anymore. I need you to step in and to take control of my life and do something with it. And you know, and if you're sincere in your heart and you really mean what you say, then God can step in and do something. I said to God only this morning, God, I'm going to get out of the road. When I move out of the road, God can do something. When I completely surrender it to God, I know God is as good as his word and he will come through. I might not like the answer that he gives me, but God has my best interests at heart. So you got to remember that just because God answers our prayers doesn't mean the answer that you're going to get is what you want to hear at that time. But God knows best because God sees the big picture. We only see the now. God sees the future. God knows what he wants to do in your life, what he wants to achieve. Sometimes we have to just get out of the road and let it go. And I say to some people, I said, what part don't you understand? Is it the let or is it the go? Just let it go. Trust God. Trust God. My friend came from Canada over the weekend. We haven't seen each other for 3 years. And he wanted to know what God was doing in my life. And he said, we wanted to play golf. I mean, we love to play golf together. And he rang me up all excited, you know, on his way here. And he said, Tony, he said, mate, can you book us a game? Can we play golf? Can we just spend time on the golf course? And he said, the most important thing, he said, I feel like God wants me to spend some time with you. And you know what? It rained and bucketed down. And we never got on the golf course. But you know what? We sat in the golf course at the golf club in the 19th hole with a steak sandwich and a cool drink. And I didn't care. There was a lot of people there, bowlers and golfers were all around us. But you see, it didn't sway me from talking about God. He wanted to know what God was doing in my life, so I told him. I shared with him what God's doing. I shared with him about King's Kids. And when I went out to meet him that day, I took the first 6 episodes of King's Kid with me to give to him to listen to. And I said, when you listen to these, if you really want any more, I would love to give you a full set to take back to Canada. And you know, we're sitting in the club and I'm looking at my watch and looking at my watch and it's about 4:55. And I said to my friend, would you like to go out to the car and listen to King's Kids? And I didn't even know what the episode was going to be about. I had no idea. You know, I was like a blind man in a minefield. I had no idea what was going to happen. And I went out there and we turned it on and I watched him listen and I watched him listen and it was moving me. And I thought, Lord, he's got no expressions on his face. There's nothing there. He's just like a blank page. And about 20 minutes into the episode of King's Kid, I saw a little teardrop run down his face. And I knew that God was speaking to him through the show, that God was touching him, and that God was doing something awesome in this man's life. And when the show was over, he just hugged me, and he said, I would love to take back a full set of King's Kids. He said, because my family needs to hear what you're doing. They need to be hearing what God is doing through your life and what God has brought you from. from being a bank robber to where you are now. People need to hear that, because he said the truth will set people free, because they need to know that there is a God, that God cares about each and every individual. And you know what? I stood up in church on Sunday, because last week I was ministering to someone in despair. And I said to God, I said, can you give me something that I can write to this person, send a text message to, and something that's really going to bless them and make their day? And this is what God got me to say. I said, with every heartbeat and every breath that you take, be still and know that I love you, because the best is yet to come. Love, Jesus. And for all you romantic fools out there, all you men that haven't got a romantic bone in your body, write that down and put it on a card and give it to your wife, your girlfriend, your mother. Give it to a friend, somebody in need, because people need to know, with every heartbeat, with every breath that you take, be still and know that I love you, because the best is yet to come. Love, Jesus, and put your name there as well. You know, when I read that out in church, my mate from Canada said to me, he said, you know what? He said, would you mind if I write that down? He said, and emailed it to my wife. He said, she'd be so tickled pink to hear that. When I said I was coming back out to Australia for a couple of weeks to catch up with family, she said, I hope you catch up with that black fella. Have a game of golf, because I think you really need to spend time with him. And you know, this morning he came to my home, because I live near the airport. And you know, and I've just been sharing with him my wilderness experience for the last 3 years that I've been living in the wilderness. But you see, living in the wilderness, not being camped out in the bush and going without showers and you know, living off the land like a typical black fella, you know, eating goanna and porcupine and kangaroo and emu and all that stuff. You know, you can live on it, but it tastes like crap, some of it. Being in the wilderness is about trusting God. Victory in the wilderness is so important, because every Christian, every believer goes through a wilderness phase. And what I mean by that is, there's a time in your life you know you're walking so close with God, you can reach out, you can touch God, and you pray a prayer and instantly God shows up. He shows up with an answer and everything's really spot on. That's when you're on top of the mountain. But when you're in the wilderness, no matter how hard you pray, no matter how much time you spend with God, you feel like the river's dried up. You feel like, what am I doing wrong? Why isn't God answering me? Why isn't God there when I need him? But you see, God is there when you need him, while you're in the wilderness. See, God wants you to go through this wilderness experience where you learn to trust him for all things. And it's while you're in this wilderness experience that's where we grow as Christians. That's where we grow. That's where we know that God is God. We know without a doubt that God is God when we come out of the wilderness experience. You see, when I got out of prison, I trusted God for everything. I paid my bills. I trusted God to put food on the table. I trusted God for jobs. I trusted God for everything. But as I started to get successful after being out of prison, earning big money, big time jobs, being friends with the Prime Minister and all these things, sometimes we drop the ball. God doesn't take first place in our life anymore. You know, the best way to put it is, when you meet your best girl for the very first time, when you go driving together, she's sitting so close to you. I mean, I'm talking about the old cars where you had a bench seat where she could sit right up next to you. And that's the honeymoon phase of your relationship. And that's what it's like with God. When you first get saved, you want God to be involved in everything. And then after a while, you get engaged and, you know, then she's not sitting next to you right up against the gear stick anymore. She's over against the window. And then as you start to grow in God, you put God further and further away because you think you want to do it yourself. Then eventually you married the woman you want and you don't tell her you love her anymore. She don't need to hear that garbage. I told her 12 months ago that I love her. She don't need to hear that sort of stuff. When was the last time you bought her flowers? The day we got married. Well, yeah, she needs more than that. And what it is with God is, you see, when you get to that marriage stage, you know, God is no longer sitting in the driver's seat with you. God's sitting in the back seat. And if we drop the ball even further, God's gone from the back seat to the trunk of the car, to the boot of the car. And you see, God doesn't work good when he's in the boot of the car. He only works better when he's in our lives and part of everything we do. And that's where you got to. That's where you grow in the wilderness. The last 3.5 years in the wilderness, I haven't been able to pay my bills. I haven't been able to do it myself. I've had to swallow my pride. I've had to trust God completely. God amazes me with his amazing love, because he sends somebody along to pay this bill, to pay that bill, to pay that. And you see, I've learned to rely on God and trust him. And yes, sometimes I'm a stubborn old black fella. Sometimes I still try to do it myself. Like yesterday, over the weekend, I ran around like a silly chook trying to do it myself. And it wasn't until yesterday I said, okay, God, I threw my hands in the air and I said, oh God, I give up. I give up. I give up. God, I want you to take control. Father God, just take control of the situation. Father God, if it works out the way that I want it to, then thank you, God. Oh, you know what I said to someone the day? I said, only God is worthy of all our praise. Only God is worthy of our worship. Only God is worthy to be thanked for everything he does for us. It's okay to wait on miracles. It's okay to wait on God to do something. But don't forget to thank him. Don't forget to tell him how wonderful he is. When you spend your quiet time with him in the morning, don't forget to look up to the heavens and say, Father God, I just love you. Father God, I just thank you for who you are. Father God, I thank you today for all that you've done for me yesterday, today, and what you're doing for me tomorrow, Father God, because your plans are better and higher than my plans. And Father God, you always know what's best for me.
We can really give thanks to God for putting up with Christians like us. He loves us so much that he sent his son to pay the penalty for our sin. Even though you probably know the verse, I'm going to quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but will have everlasting life. God wants you to have a joyful Christian experience. But as Tony has said, it's not always easy to do that. If you can do nothing else, take advice from the kids' worship team. Give thanks. I'm Heidi. Tony and I will be back next week to share more experiences from Tony's journey with God. King's Kids is produced in the studios of Rima FM, Port Macquarie.